reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And we left Lord Chaitanya, had come back from Gaya. He's associating with a few of his devotees and sharing his deep feelings of ecstatic love and separation from Krishna. And that was immediately with his friends, with his pandit friends. And now we've heard how he's interacting with his immediate family members, Mother Shachi and Vishnupriya. And thereover, Mother Shachi can't understand anything about his ecstasies. And she's just praying to Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Bhagavan, please make my son normal. Niravadi shloka parik, I think I read that. Kariya rodan. Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna, Bali Anakshan, I read that. Vishnambara constantly recited verses and cried as he continually implored. Implored means begging. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna. Sometimes he roared in such a loud way that Vishnupriya ran away in fear. And Mother Sachi was frightened. We read that. Now this is the new part. Ratre nidra nahi jana. Prabhu Krishna Ras Virahe Napaya Swastya Ute Pade Vais. Due to feelings of separation from Krishna, Vishwambar could not sleep at night. He would feel so uncomfortable that sometimes he would get up from bed, sometimes he would lie down, and sometimes he would just sit there. Purport. Being merged in the Vipralamba Ras, the mood of separation, the Lord's feelings of separation became so intense that he regularly passed sleepless nights. He became so agitated by the pains of intense separation that sometimes he would get up from bed or lie down or just sit there. So it's quite an intense experience, burning and separation. We may have some faint experience of this. Very faint, very, very faint, if we ever observe Nirjal Ekadasi. Sometimes devotees observe Nirjal Ekadasi. They don't sleep, and if you don't sleep all day, if you sleep all day, then that's actually not correct. Technically, on Ekadasi, day and night, we should not sleep all day or sleep all night. But if we're going to sleep at night, at least we shouldn't sleep in the day. So if we observe Nirjal Ekadasi and we don't sleep all day, we spend the day hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, then at night, 10 o'clock or so, when we choose to take rest, we will find it very difficult to sleep. This is a very interesting trick. The Shastras say that one should stay up all night on Ekadasi. One should do Nirjal. This is the correct following. Do Nirjal and stay up all night. So we say, all right, I can't stay up all night, but let me every Ekadasi observe Nirjal. At least it's half the best way to do it. But then when you try to sleep, it's very tricky. Shastras are very tricky. So then you try to sleep, you can't sleep because you're on fire. Your stomach's on fire, your head's on fire. You feel very, very hot and very, very uncomfortable. And moreover, very, very restless because you're empty. You're experiencing also pangs. Not pangs of separation. What are they called? They're called hunger pangs. Have you ever heard this such a thing? You probably never knew what it is because you never were hungry. You maybe read in a book. You read in a book somewhere something called hunger pangs. Pangs, P-A-N-G-S, pangs of hunger, which means pain. So if you want to have some slight idea of what Lord Chaitanya is experiencing, try doing Nirjal Ekadasi in the summer, like now. And it's very, very hot, unless you have some MVT flat or something. If you have a normal type of flat, it's very, very hot, and then you'll see, and you say, anyway, I want to go to bed. So what will you do? You'll do like this. You'll get up from bed. You'll sometimes lie down, and sometimes you roll on this side, and you roll on this side. And your mind keeps telling you, Get up and chant. Your mind tells you, get up and chant. Why? You can't sleep. You can't sleep. You're not tired. Your stomach is growling for food. Your stomach is chanting, food, food, food. So you're not hearing the holy name, and you're not chanting the holy name. You're simply hearing food, food, food. You're just listening to your stomach chant, food, food, food. Give me food, 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 food. Give me food. Or at least water. Okay, no food, but water, water, water. And you're lying there. Okay, I'm not tired. I'm just burning up. I'm not tired, but I'm too tired to chat. I'm too tired to read, but I'm not tired enough to fall asleep. So then you get up and you walk around. Maybe you chant. You get up and say, "Okay," and you take your beads. I'll chant one round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you say, "Let me try to go to sleep now." Then and you say, "Well, maybe if I read the Bhagavatam, that'll make me fall asleep." Because usually when you read the Bhagavatam, you fall asleep. So now it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock at night or whatever. It's Ekadasi, and you can't sleep, but you really want to sleep. So let me take out the sleeping pill. It's called SB sleeping pill. SB 101. SB 12. It's very effective. You know SB 12? Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos. SB 12 pill. Hey, take any one of these. And then you open up. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. Acha. But what happens is you don't sleep. And you read one page and another page. Oh my God, this is not working. What's with this medicine? It usually puts me to sleep immediately. I read for 1 hour. I close this book. I only lie down again. Oh God, I have to sleep. Tomorrow I'll be so tired. Oh, sleep. So someone may have this experience. And then after a certain point you say, forget it. I'm going to stay up all night in Ekadasi. And then you invite some other people, other crazy people. You want to stay up all night? And they say, "Oh, you're crazy?" And you say, "Yeah, but come and be crazy with me." Because there's strength in numbers. We have a phrase in English, strength in numbers. More people, more strength. More devotees. Of course, sometimes it's really difficult. Everyone's sleeping except one person. But I've been in some jagrans where I try to do everything I can to keep people awake. I've been in other jagrans where I'm trying to do everything I can to stay awake. Because I'm supposed to be the leader, right, of the jagrans. And I'm like, and everyone else says, "Maharaj, are you tired?" "Oh, me? No, I'm not tired. I'm wide awake." And they say, "We're depending on you. If you go out, we're all out." I said, "I know, but we're blind leading the blind tonight. Krishna's not giving me any strength." It's all in his hand. Some jagrans, we feel like fresh. And even one person said, "You look so fresh." The whole night we stayed up and we were so fresh. And even someone said, "You look fresh, even in the morning." But that was like a special installment of mercy from the Lord. Usually we're dead, dead fresh. At any rate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. Burning. He couldn't sleep. Binaloka dekile karena sambaran husha kale ganga snane karaye gaman. As soon as Vishambhar saw a materialistic person, he would hide his internal mood. It's very interesting how everything is confidential. Binaloka dekile karena sambarana. Every morning, Vishambhar would take bath in the Ganga, Usha Kali, Usha, Ganga Snan, Gaman is he would go take bath. Ailena Matra Prabhu, Kari Ganga Snan, Parujhara Bhargasi, Haila Upashtan. As soon as the Lord returned from taking bath in the Ganga, his students would assemble there. Upastan. Krishna Vina Takurera Nai Sevadane Paduya Sakaliha Kichui Najani. Vishwambar did not explain anything other than Krishna, if you know anything about his Leela. So the students could not understand anything. Kichui Najani. Kichu na jani. Kichu na jana. Kichui na jane. Paduya. Paduya. That's an interesting name. That means students. Paduya. Krishnavina Thakurera. This is a great thing. I remember our godbrother, he's not with us anymore, at least physically, Radhakundas. In the last few years of his life, he was extremely Krishna conscious, to the point of not being appreciated. Even people wouldn't appreciate him because he was so Krishna conscious. He'd only talk about Krishna. And people didn't really like that. I mean, people means devotees, temple devotees. He would visit temples, he would only speak about Krishna. Unfortunately, some of his topics were a little bit intimate for the general class of temple devotees. So that's why the leaders didn't appreciate it. It's not that they don't appreciate it. Devotees, of course, appreciate hearing about Krishna, but everything has to be carefully presented, as Mahaprabhu is concealing his confidential ecstasies from materialistic people. Well, materialistic people are also wearing tilak. Materialistic people are also wearing saris and dhotis. And what is that materialistic person called? It's called Prakrita Bhakta. Kanishta. Kanishta Bhakta is called Prakrita Bhakta. Kanishta Bhakta is called Vaishnav Praya. It means beginner. They're also materialistic people. So Mahaprabhu would not reveal his ecstasies even to beginners, because they're also materialistic. So therefore, some tact has to be used. But at any rate, he used to always speak about Krishna, and even he was so bold in his mood of preaching that when he was in Bombay campaign, I didn't see much around here, maybe here, but not in Radhakund at least. But in Bombay, he would wear he made up a homemade sign, a circular, what do you call it, badge? I guess it's called a badge. Button, badge, on a piece of cardboard. And he wrote on it, "Ask me about Krishna." And he wore it here on his heart, this big, on his heart. "Ask me about Krishna." And when he was in Bombay, he would wear this. Have you ever seen? And he became famous down in Bombay in his preaching campaign. "Ask me about Krishna." Of course, in one sense, it's a little presumptuous. Or not presumptuous, but... yeah, maybe presumptuous. There's another word. Ostentatious. It's a little ostentatious to do, because every sannyasi, guru, brahmin, advanced devotee, they're very interested in speaking about Krishna. They don't need to wear a badge like that. "Ask me about Krishna." I think Niranjan Swami is very interested in speaking about Krishna. But he doesn't have to wear a badge asking about Krishna. And if you ask him about Krishna, he'll tell you about Krishna. Otherwise, he's busy meditating and chanting Krishna's name and singing bhajans. But at any rate, that was his thing. So it was his contribution. It's a contribution. This is his. He wanted to inspire everyone. "Talk about Krishna, everyone. Ask me about Krishna." So this is good. This is very good. So this is Lord Chaitanya now. Well, of course, he's not called Lord Chaitanya. This is Vishwambar, Nimai Pandit. He's not. You can't ask him about Vyakaran. You can't ask him about Naya. You can't ask him about Kavi, poetry, or logic, or grammar. And his students, all he would talk about was Krishna. They could ask him about Krishna. He would talk about Thakur, his Thakur, his Krishna, his Lord. No Sanskrit, no grammar, nothing. And these are all Sanskrit students. And he had a Sanskrit toll. Toll means a class, it's a rather informal class, but it could be held anywhere under a kadamba tree on the bank of the Ganga. Toll was informal gathering of students and teacher. Not informal, but formal, but they would gather anywhere. There was no formal building or four walls. So he had a Sanskrit toll. And now this change has happened, this great transformation. Anurode vasi lena paraite paduya sabarastane prakashaka. By the student's request, the Lord began to reveal the glories of the Supreme Lord to them. So So one advantage. It's interesting that the Lord has no interest, Vishwambhar has no interest in Sanskrit anymore, and neither do his students. Because they're asking, the students requested, Anurode Prabhu, Vasilena Padaite, Paduya Savarastane Prakasha Karite. They said, please, Prakash, reveal the Lord's glories to us. Hari Bali Punti Mili Lena Shishyagan Shrinina Anandahoila Sri Shachinandan. The students opened their books while chanting the name of Hari. Hari. Hari Hari. Shachinandan was greatly pleased to hear this. So what does this mean? This means that whenever we do anything with our senses, our hands, our eyes, our mouth, these are the knowledge acquiring or also working senses, then we should add the name of Hari. Throughout Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see so many anecdotes and pastimes where the Lord's devotees are doing something and they're chanting Hari, especially Hari, because Radharani likes this word too much. And Krishna is in the mood of Radharani, as Vishwambhar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she really likes to hear the word of Hari, especially. It has so many implications and means so many different things to Radharani. Very intimate, sweet meanings, and so many intimate and sweet leelas, where Krishna is referred to as Hari. So now, this is the very first introduction of this practice or interaction of the Lord and his devotees. Later, so much, this is in Mayapur, Navadvip. Later, we'll see when the Lord is serving the prasad, Jagannath prasad, to the devotees, and devotees are honoring the Jagannath prasad. Between bites, what are they chanting? They go, nom, 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 and then they reach for more. Then what do they say?
Hari,
Hari, Hari, Hari, Hari, Hari, Hari, nom, 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 nom. Then, Hari, 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 Hari. Hari 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 Hari. Hari 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 Hari. So this is going on. And Lord Chaitanya is very, very, very happy. So the conclusion is, if we want to make Lord Chaitanya very, very happy, santushta, then whatever we're doing with our senses, whatever we're eating, we're speaking, we're talking here, they're studying their books. Hari Hari. Hari Hari. Hari Hari. Sachinanda was greatly pleased to hear this. Shunina Anand. Shunina, to hear this. So what does it mean? It means when a devotee chants Hari, when a Gaur Bhakta chants Hari, Sachinanda fills him with Anand. Anand. Anand, as we say in the West, Ananda. Bliss. Ecstatic bliss. So this is very interesting. Now let's think about it. Navadvip Mandal is a place of Vishwambhar. Gaur Dham, Gaur Leela. And Vishwambhar is Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna. In the mood, in Bhav and Kanti of Radharani, the color of Radharani, the Kanti, in the Bhav, the mellow, the mood. And so everyone, consciously or unconsciously, everybody for the last 500 years, they've been nourishing and pleasing and satisfying Radharani by chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, because this is the favorite word of Radharani, the favorite name of God, Priyanam, the favorite. So they don't even know it. Even the Muslims and everybody says Hari Bol, the rickshaw wallahs. So when Krishna is in Gaur Dham, And he's in the mood of Radharani, what does he want to hear? All his bhaktas, Hari Hari. They don't say Radhe Radhe. They say Hari Hari. Mm-hmm. And you go there and say, oh, why aren't they saying Radhe Radhe? I miss Vrindavan. But you understand, this Vrindavan, this is Krishna's Leela Bhumi, Krishna Janmastami. And what's Krishna's favorite word, favorite naam? Radha, Radha, Radha. So everybody in Braj Mandal for the last 5,000 years, and every baby that's born in Braj Mandal, the first word he learns how to say besides mama, papa, mama, papa is Radha. And they force feed this name into every kid's ears. They force feed it. You know, force feeding. As soon as they pick him up, once he gets to Mama and Papa down, then they don't waste any more time with that one. The Mama, they try to get a Mama. Then he gets that, figures out how to do that. Then they start with the next, the third word of the language. The third word of Brajvas. First word of Brajvas is Mama. Second word of Brajvasa is Papa. And the third word is Radha. And you see, if you go in the houses, the Brajvasis are taking a look at Radha, 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 Radha. And the grandfather picks up the kids. Radha, Radha. And the kids are, God, everyone's brainwashing me. Everyone's brainwashing me. Radha, Radha. And then finally goes, Radha, 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 Radha. Because he can't get it. It's not easy to say Radha. As I've seen, there's so many kids, and little babies, they get brainwashed.
It starts with Ada.
Yeah, it starts with Ada. Yeah, they go Ada, Ada, because Ra is down here. Ra, 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 it's guttural. It's quite difficult. They haven't figured out that part of their throat yet. In the beginning, the babies only figure out their lips. Mum, mum. Oh, my lips. You talk with your lips. Mum, 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 mum. Then, that's all lips, labial. It's called labial sounds, lips. And then finally, this is kind of rah, rah. It's like, ada, 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 ada. Ada, 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 so the parrot like, so this is the beauty of Braj. So everyone here is pleasing Krishna. Because Krishna loves to hear the name of Radha. And everyone in Gauradham is pleasing Radha. Because she loves to hear the name of Hari. So now do you understand how the two dhams are one? That is Hari Dham. This is Radha Dham. We say Shri Dham Vrindavan. It's called Shri Dham. Shri is Radha Dham. Srimati Radharani. The abode, the house of Radha. Because this is what Krishna wants to hear. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Radhe, 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 Radhe. So this is nice, huh? Nice point. And the two dhams are so complementary. When we go to Navadvip Dham, and we hear everyone saying Haribo, 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 we think these ideas. Oh, they're soothing Radharani's Viraha Bhav.
That dham is called Sri Dham Mayapur.
Yeah, Sri Dham Mayapur, because Radharani's Bhav is there. Krishna is relishing Radharani's Bhav over there. Sridhar Mayapur. The students open their books while chanting the name of
Hari.
Baya nahi prabhura shunina hari dwani shubha dristi sabare karila dvijamani. On hearing the name of Hari, Vishwambar lost all external consciousness. Then the jewel of the twice born cast his merciful glance on everyone there. He was so pleased. First, what happened? What is the transformation in the Lord's behavior? Previous verse said that Shunina Ananda, he was very blissful, he was blissed out. First he was happy. In other words, his sthayi bhav, his viraha bhav in Madhurya Rasa became stimulated. It became joyful. It became happy. Then as it became stimulated more, then he actually lost, he became really stimulated because it's pralaya. He went right into pralaya. He lost external consciousness. This is a type of pralaya. He lost baya nahi prabhu. Nahi. He was not external. He was not external anymore, like we are. We're only external. There's nothing internal. We're only external. But he lost external consciousness. Then what happened? Then he distributed his mercy. Haridwani. When he heard the Haridwani, Shubha Drishti Sabare, Karila Dvijamani, he looked at everyone with a Shubha Drishti. Shub means auspicious. And what could be more blissful? I mean, what could be more auspicious than seeing someone seeing someone who's in love. Right? There's nothing more auspicious than seeing someone who's in love. That's why they say that the Vaishnavas are purifying the world just by walking in the world. It says Govinda Vishram. Within the heart of the Vaishnava, Govinda is resting. He's resting sometimes. 2 hours a day he's resting. And the rest of the time he's having Leela, Govinda Leela, Astakali Leela in the heart of the pure devotee. And because that pure devotee loves the Lord, when he's moving anywhere in the world and someone sees his face, he's seeing Prem Drishti. He's seeing a face full of love, emanating the heart that's full of love. That's what's the most extraordinary thing about Srila Prabhupada, his face. And everything that came from it. Everything about that was the most extraordinary feature of Prabhupada. There's some new DVD from Yarabara, the old pictures from the old days, and there's some people speaking. So I was listening, looking at it last night with Savi Sachin Prabhu, and then there was some footage of, what's his name? Yoga Mishra, Dr. Mishra. There was one Brahmin teaching yoga and philosophy in New York back in the 60s, and he had a bunch of disciples and followers over there. So this one lady she said she was like the mother of the ashram. She was only 30 years old, but she was considered the mother of the ashram, like kind of the leader or something. She was very much taken by Srila Prabhupada, very much attracted. So she was saying that and it's quite a point. She said very nice things she said, but one thing she said, the most remarkable feature or characteristic of Swamiji, which she called him, Swamiji, was his face. And when she said that, all of a sudden it just opened a whole avalanche, or created a whole avalanche. Avalanche means rock slide. Rocks in the mountain start sliding off for some reason, due to rainy season or whatever. They become dislodged. It's called avalanche. A whole avalanche of thoughts came in my mind about Srila Prabhupada, and how much truth there was in her statement. The so-called karmi, or whatever. Very fortunate karmi. But when she said that, I said, yeah, and I started thinking, that's right. Because we hear so many descriptions in Vyasa Puja offerings about Prabhupada, his aristocratic, his nose, what was it Shamasundar was describing? Prabhupada's nose had an aristocratic flair. You know, the way his nostrils, no, the way his nostrils would flare, you know, very wide open nostrils. This is a sign of a very exalted person to have large opening in the nostrils. This is one thing. And very large nose, very large ears, and large lips. These are very auspicious features, which are described in Samudrika. Samudrika, there's one book called Samudrika, and in that book it describes different features, auspicious and inauspicious. So Prabhupada had lots of all auspicious features and characteristics, no doubt. But I worked on interviewing for Leelamrita in 1981. I interviewed about 200 people, maybe 300 people, many devotees and many karmis, policemen in London, and policemen in Watford, and different people almost all the time people would talk about Prabhupada's face. How remarkable it was, how incredible it was, and what to speak of the angle of his face. That's no one can forget that. No one has ever met a person whose head is always like this. Yes. Have you ever met anyone like that? People act like that sometimes. Snobs and puffed up, proud, aristocratic, rich people or beautiful people. They walk around. They can't do it all day. They can only do it when they come out on the street. When they go back in their house, their head comes down.
Yeah.
When they come back in the house and put on their gumshoe or whatever, nightdress or whatever, nightgown, whatever you call it, house coat or whatever ladies wear, then their head comes back down. As soon as they go into the marketplace or any public, then toot. But Prabhupada said as soon as he got out of bed in the morning, it was already like was already like that. There was nobody in the room, but his head was already like this. His head was on a different level. It was spiritually placed. His head was placed, the flower of his face was placed on the stem of his body by Krishna. So that flower was always blossoming. The flower of his face is always blossoming. And it was always blossoming in the direction of Krishna. His face is looking up there. He didn't have much interest in this terrestrial world. He wasn't looking at the celestial world. He was looking at the transcendental world. Goloka Dham, Krishna Loka. So this is Lord Chaitanya's Shubha Drishti. When he's looking, it's Shubha means auspicious, fortunate, blessing. But what made it so supremely auspicious and so much supremely fortunate was that he was absorbed in Viraha Prema of Radharani. So he's glancing at all his students. And through his glance is his Kripa Drishti. Kripa Drishti means merciful glance. Nectar Devotion says, it's describing how one can receive prema or bhava in the heart. It can come just from a glance, from a sanctioned glance from a pure devotee who wants to imbue you or wants to give you the bhava in his heart. He can glance at you with that sanction. It's called sanctioned glance. Yeah, so many times great devotees will glance at people in the audience, but there's no sanction there. Are simply glancing, looking around. But if they wish to bestow bhava upon someone, they say, yes, I'm going to give bhava to this person. And they'll look at them. And they'll get bhava. Lord Chaitanya was going through South India in his preaching campaign. And he was glancing at people. And people just receive his glance, and what would happen? They started chanting, Shudanam. And they would immerse themselves in prema. Because it was a sanctioned glance. He was distributing. He was not, at that time, he was not keeping inside relishing. He was distributing. The Shubha Drishti is like that. The Lord is looking at his students and he's distributing some of the confidential ecstasies of his Viraha Bhav from his heart to their heart through the medium of his eyes to their eyes. It's like you see in these movies, Mahabharata, some sage is going to curse someone and he goes, looks down and he's fire goes, fire, little light, laser beams come out of his eyes, and then the guy turns into a frog or something. There's some dry ice, and the guy goes, you know, all these kind of Mahabharata and funny movies. So this is possible. Avishtahaya Prabhu Karen, Avishtahaya Prabhu Karena Vyakyan, Suchavriti Ti Kaya, Sakala Harinam. Being fully absorbed in Krishna, Avishta, Chitta, the Lord explained the names of Hari. Vyakyana, Karena Vyakyana, Vyakyana means explanation. He explained the names of Hari in all the sutras, aphorisms, and commentaries. Sutra Vritti Tika, Harinam. So we've heard this so many times, that this is a repetition of what we've heard, that whenever the Lord would describe Sanskrit or anything from the Shastras, he would only describe Nam Sankirtan. He would describe Hari's name everywhere. And Jiva Goswami, being empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, he wrote a book on grammar, a very famous book. It's even being still studied to this day all around the world. A famous book on grammar is called Harinam Vyakaran. Harinam Vyakaran. Vyakaran means grammar. So he was teaching the Sanskrit by using Harinam. Da 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 Damodar. Sha 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 sham. And like this. And if you look through the book, there's all these different aksharas and different things you have to study. Matras and aksharas and sandhis and all these aspects of grammar in Harinam Vyakaran. And everywhere there's Nam, Damodara, Madhava, Shyam, Krishna. So you're studying the book and you end up chanting Harinam. So there's students all around the world in Oxford University Sanskrit School, Harvard University Sanskrit School, probably Moscow University Sanskrit Department, anywhere and everywhere. This book is being studied by Jiva Goswami, Harinam Vyakaran. And everyone's so Jiva Goswami is engaging everyone in Nam Sankirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. So someone's enrolled in college as a Sanskrit student, has no interest at all in the Hare Krishna movement. They don't even like the Hare Krishna. They run away from them when they see them on the streets. And they come in the classroom. Oh my God. Ka, 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 kri, 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 krish, krish. Krishna, Krishna. Hey, what's this? These guys are inside my textbook. These Hare Krishnas have entered my textbook. What is this? So this is, we'll finish this purport. As a teacher who is fully absorbed in love of Krishna, Nimai, Pandit, explained in the course of teaching Sanskrit that the name of Hari was the only purport of all sutras, aphorisms, and commentaries. Of course, he was also teaching Naya. So, also in Naya. The conventional meaning of every word may be understood from three angles. I've also heard this described in a different way, but it says here, Vidvad Vrudhi. Vidvad Vrudhi. The conventional meaning according to enlightened persons. Sadharana, that means ordinary. Sadharana Vrudhi. The conventional meaning according to ordinary persons. And Agya Vrudhi. The conventional meaning according to unenlightened persons. At that time, being induced by the Agya Vrudhi, the mundane teachers of grammar who were attached to sense gratification, they explained every word as conducive to sense enjoyment. That's very interesting. Is that the Sanskrit, other Sanskrit teachers teaching Sanskrit in Navadvipa, when they would teach the meaning of any word, because they were all sense enjoyers, like most professors, they would teach the Sanskrit all the words and meanings in terms of sense gratification. But that's only one way to look at it. Due to their enjoying propensity, the Sanskrit professors could not understand that every syllable and word is a stimulus for Krishna consciousness and therefore non-different from the Absolute Truth. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Akshara Asmi or something. He says, among syllables, Akshara, I am A, the letter A. You read in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, in English it says, among letters, I am the letter A. It's not actually, but it's actually Akshara. Among syllables, and A. So A is everywhere. Right? A is in every word, practically. You have this A. It's one of the vowels, A, E, I, O, and U. So, since Krishna is this Akshara A, then in every aspect of Sanskrit, you can find Krishna there, and you can explain Krishna there. It's a stimulus for Krishna consciousness. Gaurasundara explained to his students that one can derive the real meaning of a book by discussing and studying through Vidvad Vrudhi, which is the meaning according to enlightened persons. Nimai Pandit further explained that it is totally prohibited to consider that there is a difference between the Supreme Lord Vishnu and his transcendental holy name. Whenever one sees a distinction between the Lord and his name, it is to be understood that he is bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord and is compelled by Agya Rudi, which means the understanding of the holy name by an unenlightened person. At that time, Vishwambhara had no realization of the meanings of the words other than their being indicative of the transcendental holy names situated in the spiritual sky. From the pure transcendental Vidvad Vrudhi, every sound unfolding in the spiritual sky of Krishna's service is completely non-different from the Lord and his holy names. It's a very beautiful purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he's mentioning here these terms, Vidvad Vrudhi, Sadharana Vrudhi, and Agya Vrudhi. And in relation to scriptures, this is something that's not very commonly understood, but when we study Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, or any scripture which has its Sanskrit shlokas and meaning, we are actually, if we want to correctly understand the scriptures, we have to examine, and this is of course what the acharyas usually do in their tika, we actually have to examine the verse and the verses from three levels. One level is from the physical level or the gross level, to make it instead of these terms, the physical or gross level, what the verse says. And the second level is what is the verse saying? It's saying on the physical and gross level. And the second level is, what is this verse? It's called the divya level, which means the level of the soul. What is the spiritual meaning of this verse in relation to my soul? And the third level of this verse, what is this verse in relation to Krishna? There's actually three levels. So oftentimes, devotees, when they read the Bhagavatam, which is full of stories, they take the verse on a face value. That's it, which is only one-third. So the Bhagavatam says this, and they quote some verse from Bhagavatam. But what is in other words, there's three levels of meaning. One is the physical meaning, or the level of the storyline. The other is on the level of the soul, and the other is on the level of Krishna. For example, we were discussing the other day. In many places, you'll read a verse in the scriptures. It says that women are nine times lustier than men. That's Chanaka Pandit. Or you say, women are less intelligent. Or say, women are very prone to sense enjoyment. So someone will read that verse from the physical level, external level, and say, oh, this is a verse against women, females. And that's 99.9% of the people think that. So, I read in the scriptures, it says, women are more prone to sense enjoyment. And it's in the scriptures. So is that the real meaning of the verse or not? So then everyone thinks, women especially think, when they read the Bhagavatam or other books, oh, there's all these verses about women. There's so many verses that say, women are maya, women are a doorway to hell, this, that, the other thing. Watch out. All this kind of thing. Doorway to hell, tamodwaram, yoshita sanghi sangam. Tamodwaram, yoshita sanghi sangam. You associate with women as the doorway to hell. So then brahmacharis, they like to memorize these verses and say, yes, it's women are doorway to hell. And then they become more, and then they develop so much aversion to women, they make a strong samskara for women in their chitta. Very strong samskara. And they become women in their next life. It's a fact. They become brahmacharinis. Not brahmachari, it's brahmacharini, which doesn't really exist, but anyway, in ISKCON we have it. So what does it really mean? So now we have to go deeper, and if we have commentaries, you go deeper, then you go to the higher level. Because you can, another way you want to look at verses, you can say there's the physical level, the mental level, and then the transcendental level. For example, I'll get back to this, but I'll speak another point. It says that Vyasadeva sat on the bank of the Saraswati. Vyasadeva sat on the bank of the Saraswati River, and he wrote the Bhagavatam. So what does that mean? Listen again. Vyasadeva sat on the bank. Bank means the side. Doesn't mean where you put your money. Vyasadeva sat on the bank of the river Saraswati, and he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does this verse mean? You tell me. What's one meaning of the verse? He sat beside the river. There's a river known as Saraswati, which was flowing in the Himalayas by Badrika Ashram 5,000 years ago, because that's where his ashram was. That's one meaning. It's a very obvious meaning. It's called the physical meaning. Right? That's a physical meaning. Now, a more subtle meaning, or mental meaning, or subtle meaning is that Saraswati means he sat on the bank of the river of knowledge. Because Saraswati means knowledge. Saraswati means knowledge. Goddess of learning. So he sat on the bank of the river of knowledge and compiled the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all knowledge. Knowledge is Veda, and Veda is summarized in Vedanta Sutra. And Vedanta Sutra is commented and explained by Srimad Bhagavatam. So he sat on the bank, he He sat on the bank of the river of all knowledge, and he drew all that knowledge out and put it in the Bhagavatam. That's one meaning of Saraswati. Now if you go to the spiritual level, which means on the level of the Atma, on the level of the Atma, or on the level of Paramatma or Krishna. It's called the Daivik level. It's called Daivik, it's transcendental level. So now, he sat on the bank of the Saraswati. Saraswati is the wife of, Divya Saraswati is the wife of Vishnu. And she's the one that initiated Brahma in the Kam Gayatri and Gopal Mantra. So therefore, he's actually, by his meditation, he invoked the presence of Vishnu's consort, the goddess Paravidya Shakti, the goddess of transcendental knowledge, Saraswati, Divya Saraswati. There's Saraswati, who's a goddess, who's an expansion of her, that gives you knowledge of music, and helps you pass your mathematics class, and she's the one you put in the wall and have your picture and do your puja to. Oh, Saraswati, help me pass my exams. That's the material goddess of knowledge, the goddess of material knowledge. But her origin is called Divya Saraswati. That's a transcendent goddess of transcendental knowledge who is the wife of Vishnu. So he sat on the banks of the Saraswati. It means he sat in the association of Divya Saraswati. And by her blessings, that Divya Saraswati sat on his tongue and gave him Vag City. And so he wrote. So these are three meanings of one verse. Is it clear? So the whole Bhagavatam has to be studied like this. Otherwise you misrepresent the teachings. Oh, Bhagavatam, women are this, that. So now, let's go back to this verse. Women are more prone to sense gratification, and all women feel so bad. Gee, you know, I remember so many women's livers in America when we were there. Oh, your Krishna books are chauvinistic. They're against women. And they say all these things. And they see this verse here and this verse, and they have them all underlined. I remember one lady brought some, I forgot, Fifth Cat or some book to me. She had all, everywhere it said woman, she had underlined. She said, see this, she was a women's liver type person. She said, your books, you're all chauvinist, you're all down on women, you're against women. See, your Gurudev, he's a big chauvinist. So what's the answer? When the Shastras are saying woman, they're referring to a mentality. Because I said there's a physical understanding of the verse, the mental level and the daivic level. Woman is not skin. Woman is not form. Woman is a mentality. So you may have a man's form or a woman's form, but if you have the propensity, if your mind and intelligence are absorbed in sense objects, you're a woman. So he can be a woman. He's a woman. If his mind and senses are absorbed in sense enjoyment, he's a woman. He's a woman's mentality. And he, if you associate with him, that's the gateway to hell. He's a tamodwaram, because he'll engage you on sense gratification. You understand? So this is very important. This is very important for women to understand the shastras. At this point, 99.9% people have no idea about it. They stand about it. Women are this, that, and old women. And there's brahmacharya, you know, speaking out against the women and this and that. Because men and women are both jiva. Is it right? So is jiva male or female?
Female.
She doesn't know. Well, first of all, is a jiva an energy? Is a jiva an energy? Is it called shakti? Jiva shakti? Have you heard this? You heard this term? Jiva shakti. Is shakti feminine or masculine?
Feminine.
So all shaktis are feminine, right? Vidya shakti, jiva shakti is all feminine. Ladini shakti, sandini shakti is feminine, samvit shakti. These are feminine energies. And then there's the purusha. Who's the purusha? Ekala ishvara krishna arasavya britya. There's one ishvara krishna, purusha, eki purush, mahapurush, adi purush. And everyone else is shakti. And everyone else is meant to serve him. So every jiva, man, woman, whatever the external kalevaram or external body is, we're all prakriti. We're all prakriti. Daivi prakriti. We're all spiritual energy. But if a man has this mentality of enjoying his senses, and enjoying his sense gratification, then he's a woman. He has a woman's mentality. This is woman mentality. This is woman mentality, woman mind. Not gender, that has nothing to do with gender. This is a mentality. This is a subtle understanding. Because, and the plane, and then you go to the Daivic level. On the Daivic level, everyone is woman. Because everyone is enjoyed by Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is enjoyed by Krishna. Yashoda is enjoyed by Krishna. Sridham, Subal, Balaram, everyone is enjoyed by Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. Sevananda, it says that Balaram is relishing the bliss of seva by serving Krishna. He's a sevaki, he's a sevak, sevak. So the form has nothing to do, it's the mentality, it's form. So you have male, Balaram has male form, is it right? I think so. But his mentality is woman, his mentality is prakriti. Woman is to serve Krishna, Shakti. But when we have the mentality of enjoying and exploiting, this is the woman mentality in this world. The woman mentality, but the male form. Oh, these women, they're so sad. They just like to wear fancy clothes and everything. And you look at the guy, he's got a fancy shirt. He also has women mentality, little holes in the side, and fancy stitching and gold buttons. And he's also a woman. He has his gold chains and he has so many earrings and rings and he has a gold earring and fancy ties his dhoti like a sword or something or like a lightning bolt and has a red border on it and a green border. And he's a woman. Woman mentality. Enjoying dressing, enjoying eating, enjoying whatever. So this should be a very revealing point. But aside from this gender issue, when we study Bhagavatam, we have to go deep. Deep, deeper, deepest. Of course, the acharyas help us. But don't just take on the face, it's called face value. Face value is the external value. There's a physical level. Then there's a subtle level, a mental level. In other words, this is about this, and of course, and then what is the spiritual level? So this is one point.